One other individual we need to keep on our prayer list is Cheryl. Her mother did not receive good news from her test, and her leukemia is still present. And the doctor, she said, does not really want to do any more chemo. And her brother is talking to the doctor even as we speak now. And she's very upset, and rightly so. When you see a mom struggling with health and know that the end might be inevitable, it's a very difficult situation. So keep her in your prayers. We're glad to have Brady back. He's been struggling with his health recently, and we're glad he's able to be back with us. We've got a lot of visitors, and we are very, very appreciative of your being here this morning, and we hope that you'll come back and be with us again. We always want our visitors to know that if we do something and if we say something that you don't understand or just that you have a question about, you don't hesitate to ask us. And if I don't know the answer, if one of the elders don't, we'll find somebody who does, and we'll get you an answer. I'll guarantee you that. But don't hesitate to ask us about what we're doing here at the Oceanside Church of Christ. Souls in sin need salvation. Souls. When we talk about the soul, we are talking about something that is one of the three elements of man: body, soul, and spirit. We're talking about a part of man that is invisible. We're talking about a part of man that involves the mental capacities, the will, the intellect, the emotions, and the consciousness of man. We're talking about that component of man that has a relationship with God. Whether that relationship is positive or whether it is negative, the soul of man has a relationship with God. It is that component of man that is going to survive death. The soul of man is that part of man that is completely under the control of the Almighty God. Jesus says, "Fear not him who is able to kill the body but is not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to kill both body and soul in hell." Matthew 10, verse 28. My friends, your soul is your most important possession. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul, Jesus says in Matthew 16, verse 26. Sin. Very simply, sin is the transgression of the law of God. 1 John 3, verse 4. It is possible for individuals to live in sin. And when God looks down from His throne on high and He sees individuals living in sin, what He sees are walking dead men. Individuals who, yes, physically are alive, but spiritually are dead. Paul mentions individuals who are dead in their trespasses and sins. Ephesians 2:1, Ephesians 2, verse 5. Sadly, individuals who are born innocent finally reach a point where they involve themselves, engage themselves in sin, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3, verse 23. Salvation. Salvation is defined as deliverance, freedom, rescue. The Bible says that the soul that is in sin has the sentence of death placed upon him, for the wages of sin is death. Romans 6, verse 23. My friends, if an individual persists in sin, if an individual continues in his sin, that individual will ultimately die spiritually in a devil's hell. That is the sentence placed upon the souls of those in sin. And those souls need to be rescued therefrom. And fortunately, the grace of God has provided such deliverance. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Titus 2 verse 11. That salvation, however, is only found in one place. And that one place is in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. For the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4, verse 12. That, my friends, is the good news of the gospel, isn't it? Mankind is in sin. Mankind is under the sentence of death. Mankind will lose his soul in a devil's hell, but there is salvation in Christ. That is the good news. That is the gospel, and that is what our Lord wants preached throughout the entirety of the world. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, the good news to every creature. Mark 16:15. Every human being. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be some ordained minister. You do not have to be an individual who has been placed into a position known as an elder or an evangelist. Any individual who is a Christian, who picks up the gospel of Jesus Christ and goes out into the world, is an individual who God says has beautiful feet. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Romans 10 verse 15. All of these concepts that we have set before you, involving the soul of man, the sin of man, and the salvation of man, are what have caused the elders of this congregation to form a group of individuals who are going to be traveling soon to Costa Rica to preach the precious gospel of Jesus Christ. 11 individuals have signed up to go. Folks, that's a tenth of the individuals who assembled here on a Sunday morning. That's quite a few individuals, is it not? A tenth of the congregation have said, yes, we want to go to Costa Rica, and yes, we want to preach the gospel to those individuals. Remember our statement that began this lesson? Souls in sin need salvation. Those souls in Costa Rica who are in sin need salvation. The appeal that goes forth from this pulpit this morning is this: bring us on our journey. That phrase is a biblical phrase used numerous times in the New Testament. One of those times is found in 1 Corinthians 16 verse 6. For there the Apostle Paul writes these words: and it may be that I abide with thee, yea, and winter with thee. Now listen to him. That thou mayest bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. Paul said, Corinthians, there's a good possibility that I'm going to come visit you. And I'm not just going to come visit. I'm going to stay a while with you. I'm going to abide with you. In fact, I may spend the entire winter at your congregation. And then when it's time for me to go, here's what I want you to do. I want you to bring me on my journey. What's he talking about? Folks, he's talking about their financial
support. When it's time for me to finally leave your congregation after winter is over, I want you to provide me with the necessary expenses, the necessary supplies that I need to go wherever I need to go. Who was he asking to do that? His brothers and sisters at Corinth. Bring me on my journey. This morning, I want us to focus our attention on two other passages that use this particular phrase, bring us on our journey. Because in these two texts, there are some very valuable lessons that we find therein about bringing another on his journey. The first is found in Titus chapter 3, verse 13. Listen to what the Apostle Paul tells Titus. Bring Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey diligently. Now listen, that nothing be lacking unto them. The second passage is found in 3 John verses 6 through 8. On this particular occasion, the Apostle John is writing to one whom he refers to as the beloved Gaius. Listen to what he writes about Gaius. For they testify of thy charity before the church, whom, if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles, therefore we ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers of the truth. Folks, I'm going to be talking to you about six things these two passages of Scripture teach us about bringing individuals forward on their journey. Point number one. When we bring someone forward on their journey, we need to bring them forward on their journey diligently. Bring Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey diligently, Paul writes. You look up that little word diligently and it means earnestly. With haste. With no waiting. With no delays. My friends, when individuals enter into our midst and those individuals tell us, hey, I want to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to those individuals who are lost, we need to immediately begin to talk about that. We need to immediately begin to try to make arrangements for that. Why? The days are passing, aren't they? I don't know about you, but I'm always amazed at how quickly Saturdays go. Yesterday I came to the office for about 6 hours. We went and bought some plants and we planted those in the flower beds out front. We went out to eat. And it's time to go to bed. Now folks, that is a fast day. The days are passing. Now here's the thing about the days passing. Every day that passes, there are individuals who are dead in sin, that are dying lost and going to hell. What a wonderful thought to think that we can send an individual into a place upon the face of this world, and that individual just very well may rescue a soul from a devil's hell. When I think about that, then guess what? I want to do that diligently. Hastily, quickly, with earnest. Here's the supplies. Here's what you need. Go as fast as you can go. Point number two. When we send individuals on their journey, we need to make certain that we do so with nothing lacking. Nothing lacking. Bring Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey diligently, that in nothing are they in want. That little word nothing is an interesting word, and it means this: not one thing. Not one thing. Don't let one thing fail. Don't leave one thing off. Whatever these individuals need, you make certain you provide everything for these two men's journey. That's what Paul told Titus. Leave nothing lacking. Mission trips are expensive. That's all it is to it. I'm not apologizing for that. I'm just telling you a fact. It's expensive. And sadly, there's a lot of brethren, because of that, don't want to do them. We got to do enough mission work right here in this area. Yeah, we do. Folks, we got 100-something missionaries right here. Why isn't this work? Why isn't this area already evangelized? Isn't that true? If we were out doing what we're supposed to as Christians, this area ought to be just swamped constantly with the preaching and teaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If all of us are doing our job. But Jesus said, do what? Go into all the world. And to the best of our ability, we try to do that. And it takes money. It's expensive. Not long ago, Larry ordered the tickets for those 11 individuals, the airline tickets. Over $800 a pop. That's a lot of money, isn't it? Figure $9,000 to $10,000 just to get folks on an airplane to get them over there. Woo! Folks, that doesn't include hotel, that doesn't include food, that doesn't include translator, that doesn't include group leader, that does not include transportation once we get there. It includes none of that. All of that is expensive. And guess what it requires? It requires money to do that. We've got 11 going. It's going to take about $1,500 a pop. Three of the individuals have said that they will pay for their own expenses. So we've got what? Eight individuals that we need to reach down deep inside our pocketbooks and what? Bring them forward, that in nothing do they lack. That's a biblical concept, folks. The elders have promised those individuals who are going that they will take care of those expenses. They originally budgeted about $9,000 for six individuals to go. 11 desire to go. Three are paying their own. We need to make up the difference for about three individuals. $3,000 or $4,000. And it's not going to be very long from now, just 2 weeks from this Sunday, that we'll be taking up a contribution to try to collect that money to assist those individuals on their journey. That in nothing is lacking unto them. Can we do that as a congregation? I believe that we can. We're a wealthy, wealthy people, folks. You know that? And we ought to be able to send individuals on their journey when it's time to go. Point number three. Now we go to 3 John, beginning at verse 6. For they have borne witness of thy charity before the church. Remember, John's writing to a man by the name of Gaius, a faithful Christian. And in verse 5, he talks about the hospitality of Gaius. Gaius, there have been brethren who have come to your home. There have been strangers come to your home. And guess what they have testified to? They have testified of thy charity before the church. When those individuals went out to other places, they would say, man, have you ever met that guy Gaius? We entered into his hometown, and guess what? He took us in. We were traveling missionaries. We had nowhere to stay, and you should have seen the hospitality this man gave us. They testified of his charity unto the church. Folks, to send somebody on their journey involves charity, love on their behalf. That is exactly what John is still exhorting this individual to do. I want you to keep taking care of these individuals. I want you to keep making certain that you receive them. Keep doing what you've been doing. Show that hospitality. Take care of these missionaries. Whether you know them or whether you don't know them, make certain they have what they need. That is a display of your charity. My friends, love always desires the best for another, always. True charity does not want to see another individual fail. Charity, when it sees a missionary who is diligent, who is steadfast, who wants to go, who wants to preach the gospel, who is not scared to do that, charity is willing to do all it can to make that individual's efforts just as prosperous as they possibly can. That's charity. Point number four. Listen to what John writes to Gaius again. Whom, if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort. Now there's a interesting phrase, isn't it? After a godly sort. If we're going to bring somebody on their journey, then guess how we need to do it? We need to do it after a godly sort. But what's that mean? You look up that phrase and it means this: worthily, suitably. Listen to this statement: in a manner worthy of God. That's pretty strong, isn't it? One individual said this: we need to send these individuals forth as if we are sending God forth after a godly sort. Folks, every individual who goes out as a missionary, who goes out into the world to preach the gospel, is a representative of God, isn't he? And I need to send that individual out as if he is a representative of God. I don't know about you, but just that one statement alone makes it impossible not to help. When I send these people out, I want to act as if it were God I am sending. Let me ask you something. What if it were announced today that God will be here personally next Sunday morning? Now, we don't have God in a budget. You know what? He's not there. But God comes waltzing in. And he says, now, church, listen to me. I got a mission that I'm about to go on, and I need your help. And it ain't the budget. Come back next year, and we'll put you in, God. So we just send him on his way. We wouldn't do that, would we? I hope not. Folks, I hope that we'd reach down deep into those pockets, and I would hope that we would give God whatever he needs in order to get him on his journey, whether it's in the budget or not. You know, send him on his way after a godly sort. Almost makes it impossible not to give liberally, doesn't it? If it's God, I might give double or triple. Folks, it is God going. Because you see, the church is his body. And the church does his work on this earth. It is his instrument of carrying out his will upon the face of this earth. Do so after a godly sort. Point number five. Listen to what he says. Whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. I don't know about you, but that's one of the reasons I'm trying to live a Christian life. I want to do well. Don't you? That's how I want to live. Well. You ever looked up that word well, what it means? If thou bring them forth after a godly sort, thou shalt do beautifully. If you bring them forth after a godly sort, thou shalt do finely. If thou bring them forth after a godly sort, thou shalt do excellently. There's the definition. Watch this. If thou bring them forth after a godly sort, you shall do rightly, with absolutely no blame. No blame. Folks, isn't that the kind of life we really want to live? A life where no one can blame us for how we've lived and what we've done. No blame whatsoever. A missionary comes to us. He asks for some money, and guess what? We just send him on his way. Don't really help him very much. And yet our pockets are full. Our bank accounts are full. Is there any blame that might be there on our behalf? Very well may be. In the last day, when you stand before God, what do you want to hear? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Matthew 25, verses 21 and 23. That's what you want to hear. Well done. Beautifully done. Finely done. Excellently done. That's what you want to hear, isn't it? If thou shalt bring them forward on their journey, thou shalt do well, he said. Point number 6. If we bring them forward on their journey, we become fellow helpers to the truth. Therefore, we ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. 3 John verse 8. We're leaving July the 7th. I tell you what, why don't you just all go? Put everything aside. Get all your doctor's appointments taken care of. Call your boss, tell him, got somewhere to go. And we'll just take his whole crew. We'll just get another plane. We'll take the whole crew here, right in here today, and we'll all go. How about that? I ain't going. That's right. Not every one of you can go, can you? Not physically, not personally go, but guess what? Every person in here can go. And you want to know how we go? We go by helping those who are going. That's how we do it. That little word, fellow helpers to the truth, means this: co-laborers, companions in labor. Laborers together, fellow workers. You're here, 11 are there, and guess what you're doing? You are working in Costa Rica while you're here. Bill Green came and he talked to our group not long ago, and guess what he told us? They went to the same area about 4 years ago. 13 individuals converted to Christ during just that week. 13. Anybody who helped those individuals, anybody who funded that effort, were fellow helpers in the conversion of 13 lost souls. 13 souls that will not die and go to a devil's hell. Can you put a price on that? And see, you can be partakers of that. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Philippi. And he said that he prayed for them always, making mention of you in every prayer of mine. Now listen to this. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Philippians 1, verses 3 through 5. Paul said, I get on my knees, And I thank my God for the church at Philippi. Why? For your fellowship in the gospel. What does that word fellowship mean? Sharing, partaking, companionship. Here were individuals who couldn't go with Paul, not the whole church, but guess what? They were physically supporting the Apostle Paul. Even right now, as he wrote, they had sent a contribution to him. Paul says, I am full, I am abound, have need of nothing. Why? Philippians 4:18. Because you've sent up Epaphras with materials to take care of my needs, Paul says. He calls it this, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Folks, when those individuals gave supplies and money, and they sent that by the hands of Epaphras, that was a sacrifice unto the Almighty God. God smelled it, and when he smelled it, he says, my, this is pleasing and acceptable in my sight. Not everybody can physically go, but everybody can be a fellow laborer by sending others forth. Souls in sin need what? Salvation. Folks, somebody's got to go. And the gospel says that those who go are worthy of individual support. Paul writes, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? I find it interesting that he didn't put a period right there. And how shall they preach except they be sent? Somebody has to send them. That is the will of God. I hope you'll remember this lesson, my friends. And 2 weeks from now, dig in your pocketbook just a little bit more, and 11 of us are going to Costa Rica, and we exhort you, bring us on our journey. Are you not a member of the body of Christ? My friends, you're missing a wonderful blessing. Remember that salvation is found where? In Christ. The church is the body of Christ. When an individual obeys the gospel, the Lord adds him to the church. Acts 2, verse 47. That adding comes when an individual is baptized into Christ. For by one Spirit are you all baptized into one body. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. If you're not in the body, that means you're out of the body. That means you're in the world. And folks, the world is lost. Those are the walking dead men. Those are the ones in sin. Don't die that way. If you have faith in Jesus as the Christ, repent of your sins. Confess His sweet name today and be baptized for the remission of sins. Be added to His church. Dear Christian, are you living a faithful, godly life? One that gives honor and glory to God? Or is there sin that you need to repent of and ask God to forgive you? Maybe you've just not been faithful and dedicated enough. Maybe you need the prayers of this congregation. Won't you come as together we stand and sing?